decaying world, Lord, we need your word more than ever to illuminate the way, God. We thank you that the steps of a righteous man or righteous woman are ordered of the Lord. Order our steps through your word, Lord. We need you today more than we did yesterday. Thank you, Lord, that you are God of gods. Speak to us through your word, Lord. We're surrendered unto you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Dina. If you go to YouTube, it's Dina Michaels, M-I-C-H-A-L-S, I believe, number 17. That's what that is on YouTube. Dina Michaels, number 17. It will bless your life. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And as you're turning there, how many of us have still been praying and fasting each morning? And you're still doing. Amen. Keep praying, keep fasting. I'm telling you, it's making a difference. God is speaking. Jesus said, this kind only goes out but by praying and fasting. So we pray and fast every morning for our visitors. As we get up before we eat, we use that time, 5-10 minutes, to pray and fast, to call on the power of God. So we don't go on a 21-day fast or a 10-day. We pray and fast every day. We pray and fast every day. It keeps us consistent. It keeps us focused. How many of you haven't eaten yet today? Anybody not eat? And now during praying and worship time, you should be taking advantage of that praying and fasting time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is moving. We thank God for it. Let me share the scripture. That's a Hebrews 11.
Yes.
And I'll just read one quick scripture. That's how we'll start. 11 and 33. It's talking about the heroes of faith.
Yes.
Says who through faith, underlying through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Amen.
Amen.
Underlying through faith. And that's through faith in God. Through faith in Jesus Christ. So for our visitors, we've been going after this kind because Jesus in Mark 9:29, that this kind only come out by prayer and fasting. This kind. So in 2014, we're going after this kind. Because this kind is coming after us, which we've read in Ephesians 6, where it said, put on the whole armor of God, and you might be able to withstand the schemes of the enemy. So the enemy has a scheme. He has a spider web set up for us to get caught up in, to get trapped in. So instead of him coming after us and we're just standing there, we're going after this kind through prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Some situations in our life we're not going to get rid of until we pray and fast this kind. It's the only way. It's through praying and fasting. So we read on, it says, put on the whole armor of God. And it talked about having your loins girded about with truth. So we have to be truthful. We have to be honest. That's the offense. That's the defense. Then the breastplate of righteousness. Living right. Amen.
Amen.
And then it said, above all. In Ephesians 6 and 16, it says, above all, the shield of faith, that you might be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts are coming.
Amen.
Doubt, depression, deceit, they're coming. But faith in God, it didn't say it would stop them or prevent them. It said it would quench them, but they're still going to come. So now we've been talking about faith. So we got into the heroes of faith, the hall of faith. And that's where we pick it up in verse 33. And it says, through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They became victorious through faith. And they lived right through faith. You cannot live right without the faith of God.
Amen.
They obtained promises through the faith of God. Stopped the mouths of lions. And that means, that word in the Greek, stopped, also means silenced. the mouth of the lions. Amen.
Amen.
We get to verse 34. It says they quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Somebody say amen. Amen. Through faith in God, your weakness becomes strength. And they said they waxed valiant. They became valiant in battle. That word flight being in the Greek is battle. So in the battle, they got strong. So sometimes you don't know what you have and how strong you are until you get in the battle.
Amen.
They became strong in the battle through faith.
Amen.
Oh, God, I don't want to go through a battle, but you have to.
Say that.
You have to. You never know how strong you are until you get in it. But then your faith isn't tested until you're in the battle. And they became strong in the battle. They didn't run. They didn't do like Gideon tried to do initially and make excuses.
Right.
They became strong.
Amen.
In the battle. And then they turned to flight, sent the armies of the enemy fleeing in battle. But that's through faith. Verse 35, women received their dead raised. Somebody say amen. And the women and the men in here, maybe that's a dead relationship. God can raise that thing, a dead dream, a dead promise, a dead business. God will raise that thing up to life again through faith in Jesus, if that's his will. Again, don't give up on God. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your dreams. Have faith in Jesus. And if his will, it will work out. But through faith, it's through faith. That's why Paul said, above all, out of all the spiritual weapons we have, faith is the most powerful one.
Amen.
We just have to know that God's working out, that God is with us, and God is going to get us through it. And that everything works together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. You got to know that while you're going through the battle.
Amen.
We just got to know it. Oh, that's a tough one. Because I don't want to go through too much. We don't. And it's been the gospel preached where you name it and claim it and you blab it and grab it. God us for no more. And you buy into that. But that's not what the word says. That didn't get them into the hall of faith. They had to go through. And had to see something die and God raise it again.
Amen.
That's going through. God, but I saw the dream. I like Joseph, God, I know what you showed me, but now I'm in prison. Through faith, he stayed in there. Rose up again. And others were tortured. Underline that. They were tortured, and that's voluntarily because they said, not accepting deliverance. God, hey, I'm not just going to take the easy way out. If this is it, if this is what I have to go through for you to get the glory, God, I'm going through it. That's not a popular message at all, is it? That's not popular at all. So they were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Oh, God, if I do it your way, it's going to be so much better than me selling out for stuff.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to the better resurrection. And this all just brings to mind as we go through quickly, just quickly, real quickly, take a look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. And this is Paul saying, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, brothers and sisters. It comes back to the renewing of the mind, because the old mindset will have us think that God has brought us this far just to leave us. God took us out of Egypt to let us die in the wilderness. That's the old mindset. And you have to fight through that through faith. You have to know where you are is right where God wants you. Otherwise, you'll be somewhere else.
Amen.
Right where you are is where God wants you. Otherwise, he would have you somewhere else. And so then Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let me turn there. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Amen. Paul is begging you by the mercy, and keep your finger on Hebrews because we're going back there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, so we're living this thing. By having faith in God, you can be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It says in the Greek, which is your logical worship. It's logical to worship God. It's the least you can do. Then verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye, underline, transformed. Transformed, that word is where we get the word metamorphosis, where we completely change. But how do we change? By the renewing of our mind. In the Greek, the word renewing is renovation. Your mind needs to be renovated. My mind needs to be renovated. We call that a extreme home makeover in your mind. Your mind needs an extreme home makeover. Through faith. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense unless your mind has been transformed. And so you don't want to be conformed. Conformity is the enemy of being transformed. I just fit in. And as Christians, we weren't created to fit in. We were created to stand out. But we can't do it unless our mind has been transformed.
Say that.
It says the renewing of your mind, and that word mind, let me see, I wrote it down. Your feelings, your understanding needs a whole new extreme makeover. The way you understood things before in 2013 needs to be completely made over for 2014.
Amen.
Through faith. It says your feelings, your understanding, your thoughts, your desires, and even your purpose needs an extreme makeover. It's the only way we're going to get through this. That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.
Amen.
So we need that extreme home makeover within our mind. Now let's go back. So that's how someone in the hall of faith can choose to be tortured and deal with whatever, and persecuted to deal with whatever God has them dealing with, because their mind has already been renewed. That's how it says Jesus, and even in chapter 12, it says he endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. That's, look at Hebrews 12 and 2. And we'll get down here a little later, but it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The cross didn't look good, but the joy that was set before him. He saw the joy that comes after. He saw himself raised. He saw you and I sitting here worshiping. He saw us saved. That gave him joy. He said, I got to get through this for us.
Amen.
While we were yet sinners, he died for us. We didn't even care about him. But he was so joyful that we would get the chance to be saved.
Amen.
That he endured the cross. That's a different way of thinking. So we have to get through whatever we have to get through. Ridicule, persecution.
All right.
And Moses already said it. He preferred not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So I'm not going to do that. We got to get past all that. But you can't do it without a renewed mind in Christ and faith in Christ. Verse 11:36, let's go back up and we'll come down later. And it said, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yeah, moreover, of bonds and chains. So there were some through faith. They went on trial. They had trials and tribulations. Family, we're not the only ones. The heroes of faith had trials and tribulations, had stuff they had to get through. Matter of fact, let's turn to Acts chapter 26. Yeah, let's go. And Paul, check this out. Paul wrote, most scholars believe that it was the Apostle Paul to the Hebrews, but now it just says the Hebrews. So most scholars believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. So Paul puts himself in the categories of the heroes of faith. I mean, that's almost like a conflict of interest. That's almost like you paying yourself on your job. Sometimes that just ain't going to work.
All right.
If you pay yourself, because you might not want to show up and you can still pay yourself.
Okay.
Because you're paying yourself.
Exactly.
Right. So this is almost a conflict of interest that Paul would put himself in the Hall of Faith as one of the heroes of faith. So let me ask you, if you had to write your story now, would you put yourself in the Hall of Faith? Not because of what you're going through right now, but what you believe in Jesus Christ. Are you in the Hall of Faith right now? Would you write yourself in? Is your faith that strong? Not because of your trial, but because of what you believe. Is your faith that strong in Jesus Christ? Would we put ourselves, would I put myself as a man of faith in the Hall of Faith? Would I honestly be able to say, oh yeah, I'm in there? It's a conflict of interest, unless you're really living it. So Paul puts himself in, and then he refers back to his trial. And we pick up the story in Acts 26. He's before King Agrippa. Agrippa is one of the leaders in Israel. So Paul is on trial in Israel because he wouldn't stop teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. 26 verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Permission to speak freely, sir. Okay. Then Paul stretched forth his hand. He stretched forth his hand, not his finger. He didn't give him the finger. He stretched forth his hand. All right.
All right.
Watch out. Don't give people the finger. Don't cuss them out. He just gave him his hand. And he answered himself. He said, I consider myself happy. First of all, he's in the midst of a trial. And Paul says, I consider myself blessed before I get into anything.
All right.
Can you consider yourself blessed in the midst of your trial?
Lay the foundation now.
Come on. He's in the midst of his trial. And the first thing he says, I consider myself blessed. See, that's why he wrote himself in the Hall of Faith. In the midst of his trial. First thing he said, I consider myself blessed.
All right.
But you're on trial. So what? You're in the midst of a trial. Tribulations. Brother DeAndre, I consider myself blessed. Despite what's going on in my life, I consider myself blessed.
Amen.
Despite what's going on in my marriage with my kids, at my church, in my job, anywhere, I consider myself blessed.
Amen.
Because my faith is that strong in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I'm getting through this.
Amen.
Pastor, I consider myself blessed. First thing he said, I love the way he put it right here. I think myself happy, King Agrippa. I don't care what's going on in my life. I think myself happy. Because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things wherein I am accused of the Jews. I'm going to tell it all. So then you look at it and make a note of this. Your trial gives you the opportunity to share Jesus.
Amen.
That's why he's blessed. Because you know what? In the midst of this trial, I'm going to share Jesus with somebody. As I'm going through this, somebody's going to find out about Jesus Christ. Watch and see. Because of this trial. That's the Hall of Faith right there. I know I'm going through something, but you know why? It's okay. Because somebody's going to learn about Jesus. They wonder, how do you get through that? What's going on? And Paul said, I'm blessed. Because check out what's getting ready to happen. And then verse 3 says, especially because I know thee to be an expert in customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I'm begging you to hear me patiently. Hear everything I have to say. When you're in the midst of your trial, tell it all. Tell all that God's done for you.
Right.
Tell them why you consider yourself blessed in the midst of it.
Right.
Whether it's a sickness, whether it's an illness, whether the kids are going crazy, whatever it is, tell them why you consider yourself blessed.
Amen.
That's faith in God, because you know you're getting through it. So in verse 4, he starts his testimony. He's telling them my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation as Jerusalem, known all the Jews. He gives them all of it. Give them all of it. How it started. How God can take you from almost nothing to almost something. Okay? It's all God. Tell them, take them from the beginning. So he takes them through that, and then we pick it up again. At verse 14. Let's pick it up. Let's pick up the story again at verse 14. And he's talking about, well, let's start at 13. And at midday, O king, I saw in the way of light from heaven. Now he's getting him with the gospel, okay? He's thinking he's telling a story. Bam, hit him with the gospel. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Why do you keep fighting against God? Why do you keep trying to do it your way? Why do you keep persecuting me? When are you going to give up and say, God, I want to do it your way? Amen. When are you going to surrender? So here he's in the midst of his trial. He's telling a story about how God changed his life. That's why he considers himself blessed. And in verse 15, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am who? Jesus. Ain't that something? Oh, boy, I love it, Paul. Paul is a sharp dude. He's, let me tell this story. I want to be on trial. I want to go through a trial so I can tell somebody about Jesus. Verse 16, Jesus told him, but rise and stand up on your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou seest and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, which I will reveal unto thee. I've chosen you. Paul is telling this to the king and everybody else that's listening. Giving God the glory. Give God the glory in the midst of your trial.
Amen.
Don't feel sorry for yourself. Amen. Give God the glory in the midst of your trial of how he's getting you through it. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee. Look at this. Underline 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by what? By faith that is in me. Your faith sets you apart. It sanctifies you in Jesus. Paul's giving the whole gospel right there in the midst of his trial. Give him the gospel in the midst of your trial, Dina. You give him the gospel like you always do. Like you always do. Give God the glory in the midst of the trial. Verse 19, he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I'm not going to be disobedient. God showed me and I'm following it. He talks about how he showed it to them at Damascus and then the Gentiles and everybody else so they can start repenting. And then we pick up the story. Let's pick it up. Let's go down. We pick it up at verse 23. Let's go to 23. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. You talk about a gospel message. And thus, verse 24, and thus he spake for himself. And then Thetis said with a loud voice, he was the other ruler, Paul, you are beside yourself with too much learning and you done lost your mind. You're giving your testimony and somebody think you done lost your mind. But Paul knew that his trial wasn't a setback, but it was a setup. Paul said, I have not lost my mind. People will interrupt you while Paul's speaking. This guy interrupts him and make you think that you're out of control. And when he says you done lost your mind, he said you become a maniac. We might call us a holier than thou or a Jesus freak or something like that. But you're mad. But Paul said, verse 25, I'm not mad. I ain't lost my mind. Most noble Festus. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. That word soberness. Sound mind and self-control. Paul is saying, I'm sober. My mind is sound and I'm under control.
Yes, yes.
That's why the word tells us to be sober, be vigilant. Sound mind and be under control, young folks, at all times.
Yes.
Try and fit in with what everybody else is doing. You stay under control, youth. And those of us that are not youth, stay under control and keep your mind sound. Paul tells him, for the king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. He's saying, king, you know this. So Paul is saying, even through your trial, pray for discernment in your trial. Paul is discerning. King, you know this. This stuff wasn't done in the corner. Everything I'm talking about, you already know. So in the midst of your trial, God will give you discernment. In the midst of your tribulation, God will give you discernment so you'll know what's going on. That's a renewed mind. That's faith in Christ. See right through what's going on. I love it. Verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that you believe. And then look at King Agrippa in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, man, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. you're talking some good stuff. I'm almost wanting to be a Christian. In the midst of his trial, he's persuading people to be Christian. That's why he's in the Hall of Faith. Because he got through it. He's going through it. I love King Agrippa. He's like, he's real. Like, oh, man, this is making sense. I love it. Verse 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all, underline all, that hear me this day. It's a bunch of people in that room. And through his trial, he was able to share faith with a bunch of people. Come on, somebody say amen. Somebody's going to get that later. Through your trial, you're going to be able to share Christ with a bunch of people. We're both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. These people are just like me, except they're not chained up. They're actually chained up, but they're not in chains like me.
Come on now, make it plain.
And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice and they that sat with them. And then look what happens. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves. They had a sidebar. The attorneys know that's what you call a sidebar. Amen. They say, this man has done nothing worthy of death or bonds. So you might be going through a trial and it's nothing you've done.
Amen.
You're going through a trial and nothing you've done. But it's for God to get the glory. It's for somebody to get saved.
Hallelujah.
For somebody to learn about the gospel.
Hallelujah.
We have to start. That's why we need that renewed mind, because it makes us look at our trials differently.
Mm.
It's not for you. It's for somebody else.
Right.
They say, he's done nothing. He done nothing worthy of this. But look what he says after that. Verse 32. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. If he hadn't appealed unto Caesar, we would let him go. You know, Paul is so slick. God is so good. He appealed to Caesar. Why? Because Caesar needs to hear the gospel. He needs to go and give the same message to Caesar. Let me go. No, I'm a Roman. Oh, you're a Roman? Yeah, I need to stand before Caesar. So they try him here, hear the gospel. Now he goes to Rome and share the gospel.
Amen.
Your trial will take you places.
All right.
I know that's not a popular message. But your trial will take you places. Let's finish this up in Acts 28. Turn to Acts 28. Verse 28. So now Paul, chapter 28. Now Paul is in Rome at this time. Well, let's see, where do we want to pick this up at? 28 and 22. But we desire to hear of thee what you think. For as concerning this sect are these Christians, we know that everywhere it's spoken against. So he said, we want to hear about this. Everybody's talking about this Jesus stuff, and some people saying it's real. Some people say, so they're saying we want to hear about it too. So in Rome, the word of Jesus, the name of Jesus already been spread. They want to hear about it too. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging or to his house, to whom he expounded. He explained and testified the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because he went to Rome, you got a bunch of folks coming to his house to find out about the kingdom of God. His trial is only a setup. It is not a setback. Your trial, my trial, it's not a setback. It's a setup.
Amen.
Somebody needs to hear about the gospel based upon the trial that we're going through. Verse 23 again. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded, explained, and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning who? Oh, I just love it. 2014 years ago, Jesus rose and people were still talking about it. Talking about it then, we're talking about it now.
All right.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will never. That's why we're still talking about it. He says, Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Paul talked to him about Jesus all day. And then we kind of get to where we are today. Look at verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some didn't. It's all right, though. But some believed. Your trial is just a setup for somebody to believe. Oh, everybody's not going to get it. That's okay. But the ones that's supposed to get it, they will get it. I wanted to stop right there, but then let's look at 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well, actually spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father. So it wasn't Paul, but it was Isaiah who had already spoke based upon the Holy Ghost. Verse 26, saying, unto this people, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Those are for the ones that didn't believe. For the heart of this people is wax gross. So your kids will say, oh, that's gross. And that's how some people's heart has waxed gross. Oh, that's gross. It really is. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's God speaking. That's why some believe and some don't. Verse 28, be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Thank you, God, for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you that we heard it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reason or disputing among themselves. Oh, that's right. And Jesus, you know, we can't be talking about his love and peace. Jesus said he didn't come to call peace, but confusion. In a sense that not everybody's going to believe. You got to make a decision. I'm not just going to believe and believe anything that you say. I'm just not going to go with the flow. We're salt and we're light.
That's it.
We're not just, well, oh, yeah, we're supposed to love everybody. Yeah, they can do and live. No, that's not what the word teaches. It's supposed to be some disputing when you're given the straight word of God. Some people say, oh, you've done too much reading. You done lost your mind. You're a maniac. Oh, yeah, you're right. For Jesus. Now, I'm going to share this scripture right here. That they can see, but they can't see. They can hear, but they can't hear. They understand, but they don't understand nothing. Verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years. This is when he's on the Isle of Patmos, island of Patmos, in his own house, his own rented house. So don't even worry about buying your house. Paul had a rented house. Don't be tripping on it, because you know we're going to leave it anyway. Even if you think you're buying, you're still renting it.
Say
that. Don't leave it for somebody else.
Say
Paul just living in his own rented house. Paul, I'm leaving this stuff. I ain't going to buy no house. I'm renting this thing. I'm out of here. And received all that came unto him. Look what Paul did. Blessed him. God, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Paul just preached and teached until he died.
Amen.
Then he wrote himself in the hall of faith before that, despite his trial. Let's go back up to verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believe not. And that's what we'll pick it up for next week.
Amen.
So let us pray before we dismiss. And what a word to leave on. So you might be here and you say, well, Pastor, I guess I have my opportunity to believe now. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, here's your opportunity to believe. Not going to take for granted anyone here is saved or not saved, but we're going to give the invitation God, thank you that showing us through our trials is to give you the glory. Not to complain and cry and say, why me? Why is all this happening? But the setback, it's not a setback. It's a setup for your glory. As we go through, Lord, we thank you that you're with us. We pray that we go through so we can be classified as a hero of faith, that our faith, as Jesus told Peter, I'm praying that your faith won't fail. Not that you get through it, all right, but I'm praying for that your faith in Jesus Christ won't fail. As Satan desires to sift us like wheat, he's praying that you keep your faith in Jesus. Get through the trial for somebody else to believe on the power of God. So if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ and say, Pastor, today I want to accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, go ahead and elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you want to rededicate your life. You say, Pastor, my faith has been all over the place. I've been crying in my trials, but I need to rededicate my life to Christ and just having faith in him, knowing that this, it is for me, but it's not for me. But it's for me to get through with Jesus because others need to hear about Christ. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life this morning, go ahead and elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. You say, Pastor, I love the worship. I love the word. I love the fellowship of the people. I need a place to be grounded, to be rooted, to be accountable, to get teaching, to learn my, I know my purpose is to make disciples, but I'm not sure about the method on how to do it. I think I can find that here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your church family. I'd love to be your pastor. Oh, Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you for meeting us here, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We love you on today. There's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you. Lord, we're just that much more convinced, like Paul just taught, in confidence with no one forbidding him. God, that whatever we go through, we will stand on Jesus. We will be confident. We will teach. We will preach. We'll live for your glory. We'll go through our trials with a different attitude. Our minds have been renovated, a complete extreme home makeover in our minds, Lord. We're convinced more than ever today that serving you is the best thing we could have ever done. Living for you, committing to you. So we thank you and we bless you. There's none like you, Lord. Thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Thank you for the abundant life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, hug somebody. You are dismissed. God bless you.